The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to the Crossman Conversation, CEO edition, offering insights, wisdom, and counsel from the most respected CEOs. Here is the host of the Crossman Conversation, CEO edition, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition. And today we're here with number one show with our first guest, my good friend Craig Usler, who is president of Usler Development. Craig, thanks for being here.
Thank you, John.
Listen, Craig, I was thinking about you and that, you know, gosh, I feel like we've known each other about 30 years.
Yeah.
And for 30 years, I've always seen you as the premier expert in downtown Orlando. So tell me first, big picture, how do you feel about downtown Orlando, how it's going?
I sort of see it as a glass half empty and a glass half full proposition, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's some good things. I certainly think Mayor Dyer and the leadership and some private developers have done some positive things, community venues, Creative Village, some of the close in-town neighborhoods. But I also think there's some challenges. We certainly have got, you know, too much of one thing, meaning bars and nightclubs. And, you know, you and I would say if we take clients down there or we're hosting business functions or whatever, we're not happy with the lack of diversity of restaurants and other type of dining options. So I think it's not so bad that I think it's, you know, something that we can't make better. But I also think there's a lot of upside and a lot of work left to do.
Well, it's funny because I remember having conversations with you and Linda Hood. I don't remember what year that was. And I remember her saying, what incentives do we need to provide to get retail downtown? And I remember saying, don't worry about that. Provide residential incentives. And that was really the key. And so do you think we still need more of that, more residential to drive the retail? What do you think?
Yeah, that's still the key. So residential, one of the things I think that's a challenge. So most people would say, well, residential's worked because there's 10,000 new residents and you've seen all the cranes and all the new apartments. I would say we have to double, triple, quadruple down on that we still need 2, 3, 4, mm-hmm. 5 times the amount of density that we have. If you look at the residential density in a lot of other cities that you like and a lot of other places that have the restaurants and everything that we want, they have more density per square mile than we do. And retail's changed in the sense that, you know, we all don't really mean store anymore. Now we sort of mean professional services and restaurants and entertainment and stuff. So I'm still a fundamental believer in the equation of people sort of equals what you want. And then you got to refigure out what office means and understand you don't mean central business district anymore and probably focus more on entertainment, Dr. Phillips Center and the Amway Center and things like that. And then understand how the retail and the ground floor commercial offerings kind of round that out. But it's still ultimately driven by population. And while we've had a great run, the past decade in downtown Orlando has been really, really strong from a residential population standpoint. We could still, there's still land and we could still support and frankly need to support 2, 3, 4 times that.
Yeah, it's funny. I totally agree. I feel like the trajectory is right, but it's not quite there. The question I want to ask you next is like, what's an example of a downtown that you feel like is 5 or 10 years ahead? You feel like it's doing right? Now, I'll answer first, take a little pressure off you, Craig, but what the downtown I love is downtown West Palm Beach.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a daughter at Palm Beach Atlantic, and when I go visit her, I park right in front of the campus. We meet, we walk, we have lunch, we walk back, and I just feel like that downtown's doing it right. In your mind, what's the downtown that Orlando needs to be aspiring to be that's reachable?
So within the state of Florida, there's 3 that we look at, and you mentioned one of them. The other 2 are downtown St. Pete and downtown Tampa. Whether you like it or not, those are Orlando's competition. Mm. We're really not in competition with Fort Lauderdale and Miami. They're sort of way far ahead of where we are. And then everybody looks at Nashville right now in the sort of in the southeast region, and it's a hot downtown, and really sort of on the trajectory maybe that Austin, Texas was on previously. But that matters because you want to understand what they're doing. But really locally, it's Tampa and St. Pete more than anything. I mean, if talent's moving here and has sort of picked this region, they're deciding, especially medical, like if you're in the healthcare, I mean, you're deciding between Orlando and Tampa, and Tampa's ahead of us, and downtown St. Pete is too, especially from a residential and an amenity standpoint. So those are the ones we need to pay most attention to.
What does Tampa and St. Pete have that we don't? What are we missing that they have?
So both of them, I think, kind of reached an inflection point. They were on the same trajectory we were on. They were seeing really strong residential, and you don't know when you hit these inflection points till you've hit them.
Right.
You know, you and I couldn't, you know, plot it out. But they either have an event a catalytic event, like Water Street in Tampa is a catalytic project.
Mm-hmm.
And in St. Pete, it was just actually, it's a building block effect. They just got so much residential that they ultimately tipped over to this critical mass where it attracted a quality of restaurant and a quality of entertainment and a diversity of options that we haven't gotten to yet. And so I would tell you that it's just keeping on doing what we're doing, but you got to kind of figure out how to put that on as much hyperspeed as you can. And then you hope projects like Creative Village or like what the Magic are going to work on, or maybe the district around the Dr. Phillips Center can become catalytic districts. I mean, you and I have talked for years about the redevelopment of Church Street. I mean, can ultimately the real estate development community's got to do better. It's not all just falling on government saying we have a plan. I mean, ultimately private development's got to execute.
Mm-hmm.
And so for whatever reason, some of the key real estate assets in the cities I just mentioned were in the hands of people that could execute. And right now, some of the assets in Orlando aren't in those same hands.
I gotcha. The other thing I just want to mention, this is just my view and one of your response to it, is that, and maybe you're the one that told me this, but that every great downtown in America has a collegiate component.
That's right.
That's key. And when I look at us, we have Valencia and we have UCF and then we have FAMU College of Law. And for the longest time, they've not been in the best rhythm, right?
That's right.
And I got irritated with this when UCF was announcing, like, you know, we're coming downtown, we have a college coming downtown. I'm like, guys, you're joining a college downtown. This is not just you. And I did this. I actually wrote my own press release, got a quote from all three college presidents because I was getting so irritated with that story. So it seems like the unification of some of our constituents needs to be a little tighter.
So we went from zero. So before FAMU was downtown on the west side, right? So then you get that, then you bring UCF and Valencia to the equation. So leadership deserves credit for getting that put in place, but you're right. That's not where it needs to be. All we've done right now, really, in my view, is set the table for further collaboration and unification and working together. Ultimately, that becomes the key to the west side of downtown Orlando is education and access to education. And as you say, no great city really exists, or downtown doesn't exist without the education as this base. You know, it establishes sort of this institution that lasts for hundreds, if not thousands of years, that you can rely on and that can change lives. And so we have to have that downtown. So I will say that what we've accomplished so far is better than not accomplishing it, if that makes sense. So having FAMU, right, UCF, it all at least in the same sort of conversation works. But yeah, the next step is to really figure out how to make that much more a well-oiled machine.
I talked to a very well-known older attorney, and I asked him about helping me with FAMU College of Law, and he said, "John, I only recruit from UF and mm-hmm. FSU." And I said to him, "So like you're going to drive 4 hours, drive 2 hours, you won't go two blocks."
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's something we have to get over. We have to have embracement by our downtown of our other downtown constituents.
Yeah, one of the theories about putting UCF, FAMU, and Valencia downtown is that it will become more noticeable, right?
I mean,
there's business value in location. And so I think COVID set that back. So I think we've had a 2-year kind of interruption. I tell people, I think that had a good chance of working if we just kind of would have hit the ground running with the downtown campus and looped in FAMU and then sort of set forward. And I think COVID kind of, you know, causes this pause. So I'm still cautiously optimistic that what you said can happen. Ultimately, seeing that every day and seeing what we've created on the west side and seeing how all those academic institutions can work together, I do think people will change their mind. Maybe not the super old people that are set in their ways, but I think the younger people who are running, you know, we know some really sharp young lawyers in town who are running firms who are much more about diversity and everything. So I'm hopeful in that regard.
I agree. And with that hope, you and I need to keep fighting the good fight.
Yeah,
right. We're
going
to keep leaning
mm-hmm.
into that. Craig, we're going to take a quick break. I want to come back, and I got a couple more hard questions for you. Get ready, okay? So this is the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition with Craig Usler.
Crossmark Services is a commercial real estate firm offering a wide range of professional services, including advisory, brokerage and leasing, investing, and property management. Our staff comprises the industry's most seasoned professionals who possess the needed knowledge in real estate investments, analysis, and portfolio management to drive growth. See how Crossmark can work for you. That's crossmarkservices.com.
Once again, here's John Crossman.
We're back here at the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition, with Craig Usler, who's, in my opinion, the best downtown developer I've ever known. And, you know, I give a lot of speeches about retail and the future of retail and history of retail, and I quote you every single time. I asked you the first time, but I could quote you, and I keep on quoting you. So thank you for all you've done for me and the community. I want to go back to talking about downtown, and one of the things, I just wanted to throw this at you, Craig, and I just want your response. In my brain, what I think would be awesome is that we're in the heart of the I-4 corridor. We have the FAMU College of Law. It's, you know, one of only six HBCU law schools in America. Wouldn't it be cool if every time the presidential election came up, a presidential debate was held there, right? In my brain, that would be like the coolest thing of like you're saying, hey, we're having discussions. We're gathering Orlando. And it's not as political, right, in one sense of like, we want to be a place that's a beacon of having healthy debate and discussion.
That's right.
Now, some people would hear that and be like, John, you're crazy. We don't want that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so that's the next step for the West Side. So if you look at what FAMU, UCF, and Valencia have done, and you look at some other institutions that are working on things like the Holocaust Center and stuff, even the Wells-Built Museum and what Geraldine Thompson's worked on. So we need to ultimately be, downtown Orlando needs to be a convener, right, and a thought leader. I always give Lake Nona credit for the idea of the Lake Nona Institute, right? And they're going to bring together world leaders to sort of make things better. That's what downtown Orlando needs to become, especially in the diversity, equity, inclusion piece. And we're already known for that, largely having to do with how we responded to Pulse. And so we need to leverage sort of that recognition, use things, as you said, like the FAMU College of Law and other things to be a place that people actually look to for solutions in that regard. The great thing about that is we're already in that lane. I mean, this is not something that you and I would have to go convince Mayor Demings or Mayor Dyer or whoever that's a good idea. I mean, this is something that people are already thinking about. It probably takes a little bit of work in actually making events happen. But you're right on the money as far as the way we actually need to have things physically start to happen and then stream them online and do all that kind of stuff. Dr. Phillips Center has done a great job thinking about some of the stuff they did with Ukraine and all that stuff. Was we need to extend that to some of the stuff you and I work on.
Yeah, I mean, let's look, you know, I'm a Christian conservative Republican. I'm very much that guy. And yet I love healthy discussion. Yep. You know, and I'm a very pro-diversity guy. There are others that connect diversity to Marxism, and there is a group out there that's what they're about, right? And so, to me, we need to have a full debate, full discussion. And when I take it to this situation, in my brain, every legitimate presidential candidate is going to campaign in Central Florida. Man, if we could create space that they're there. And by the way, having not rallies, but like open discussion, right? Like calling balls and strikes and asking good questions.
You know? Interesting part about it is, so there's real estate value in that. And so some of the people ask me sometimes, so why are you into diversity and why do you think all this matters and why do you think all these viewpoints matter? And that's ultimately what it is just
right.
Understanding all these different. So the reality is in my business, I mean, I'm studying downtowns all over the country and all over the world, and the absolute best downtowns are the most diverse, the most inclusive, and have the most opinions, and they have the most variety in restaurants and the most variety
right.
in businesses and the most variety in countries that people come from, and they have old people and they have young people and they have white people and they have black people. It's a melting pot, and that's the true value of a great city is having all those viewpoints. You and I could decide to go to one type of restaurant, a different type of church service a different day, a different type of lecture the other, right? That's the value, right?
Right.
Is all that. So, even if you don't believe any of that, it raises real estate values and makes you a better city for it. So in my world, I always say it's mutually beneficial. I agree with everything you're saying from a community and a political benefit, but it also has just a real estate benefit to my hometown, your hometown.
Well, it's funny, you know, I'm Baldwin Park guy. I've been there 20 years. Can you believe that?
I've lived
in Baldwin Park for 20 years this year, which is totally crazy. You know, when they first ramped up, they would not use the word Christmas tree.
That's right.
It was so ridiculous. And I had all these arguments. And one of the things I pointed out is that in Turkey, in Istanbul, there is a Jewish family that makes Christmas trees. And I'm like, in the most Muslim country in the world right. is a Jewish family making Christmas trees. And so that's to your point.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, guys, it's not.
It's not about the actual thing.
Yeah,
right?
it's not muting voices.
That's right.
It's getting all voices in. And to me, I'm always like when I was at Trimble Crow, their slogan was Smarter Wins. And I'm like, the best ideas, that kind of stuff. Let's touch real quick on housing. You know, I'm on the Orlando Housing Authority Board, and so it's something really important to me. Do you just give us, I know this is quick, a lot of important topics, but how do we get more affordable housing, more workforce housing in downtown?
Yeah, so housing's the issue of the day. I mean, if you were to ask most everybody, they're concerned about affordable housing and the shortage of housing. So you know, real estate person's going to say it's a supply problem, and it is. The question is, how do you get more supply? The short answer is to take urban infill sites, commercial sites. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of land availability along our corridors, 436, 1792, Colonial Drive, OBT, and really make those available for what I call multifamily development at scale. You really can't move the needle with single family. I mean, you can deliver thousands and thousands and thousands of multifamily units, and you could do this at Fashion Square and Colonial Plaza and all along that corridor, the Orlando Executive Airport. I mean, you could do that quickly. That's the shortest answer, is to really upzone or incentivize housing at scale, and to inject the system with a supply number that would move the needle, 5, 10, 15,000 new units, not of affordable housing, particularly of a mix of housing. We need more of everything. It's not more of one type of thing. In fact, if you only build one type of thing, it takes so many resources to do that, you kind of constricted the rest of the supply side. So it needs to be all supply side driven, and really some aggressive incentives and upzoning from both the city and the county.
So the whole thing is that if you have more people living and then walking to work in downtown, you have a bigger, better, healthier downtown. I mean, that's really the key, right?
Yeah, and it's just more efficient. So Orlando is sort of notoriously inefficient. The more spread out you are, the more suburban sprawl-based you are, the more dependent on the automobile you are. By definition, the farther you're driving to work, or the farther you're whatever, that employee is farther away from whatever you're doing. So if you think about a balance sheet, our balance sheet's flat, spread out, and inefficient. So we don't get the same return on those assets as if they were arranged better. So to arrange things better is to arrange them in closer to each other in a more efficient location, and nearer to the things they need to be, like healthcare and jobs and entertainment options. So that's really all that is. When someone says, why is a city like New York great? And it's because it's surrounded by water and it's forced to arrange itself in a more efficient manner. Absent natural barriers, you tend to spread out and be less efficient.
We're going to wrap up real soon, but I want to have a couple of things. I've got a guy in my Bible study that told me today that he's just taken a job in Rockledge. Mm-hmm. So he's going to drive from Orlando to Rockledge every day. And to your point, like think about that lost time, and that's what you're talking about. But if you have people in the downtown and they're walking, their commute's 2 minutes, everything changes. There's so much more investment. But let me flip topics. I want to ask you this one. Craig Usler, Mr. Downtown, should we try to get another sports team? Should we try to get a pro baseball team, pro football team?
Right? So I've really gone back and forth on this my whole career. I'm a sports guy, obviously. I'm a great sports fan. I'm not as impressed with some things I've seen in other cities as to how sports stadiums and whatnot either fuel or don't fuel economic redevelopment. So I would tell you, we have to pay attention to what sport it is. What there has ended up being greater value in is sports that have more games and less people. So NFL is the worst thing to get. It's 8 Sundays a year with 100,000 people, and you don't build apartments and offices and everything around it. Baseball, if you look at what Atlanta's done with Battery Park and the Braves, okay, and you would say that's a very successful master development and host conventions and meetings.
Right.
So I think we need more entertainment and sports of everything. So that's arts, culture, sports. I consider sports just really part of entertainment, but I'm really a fan of what we're doing in, you know, the pickleball team we just got or whatever, but baseball, things that just have more games and are more affordable for families. I've also become somewhat turned off by the pro model of how expensive it is to go with you
and your
family. And I don't think that's good for your city or whatever. I think more for everyone, that's more accessible to everyone, and parents and grandparents and kids and family outings. I think, yes. But I do think that kind of sports activity has value. You and I remember some of the other sports teams like the Predators that did really well.
Right.
And that had value. And, you know, I would tell you, as a downtown business owner, I'd rather have 100 nights a year that are pretty crowded than I would have the NBA All-Star game, because I can only be full one night, right? So I'd rather spread out, right? It's the duration of sort of the busyness that matters downtown, and that's where a sports team could help.
I gotcha. One last thing. Craig, people listening to this, you wanted to give them one thought about how they should view downtown and really how they could be helpful to making a healthier downtown, whether it's downtown Orlando or where they live. What would you want people to know about how they individually contribute to their own healthy of downtown?
So what I would say is, downtown matters to you whether you go there or not. You know, the health of a city, and it's the heart of your whole region, right? So I always it really kind of gets my goat when people are like, oh, I don't go downtown, I don't care about it. But I'm like, yes, you do. I mean, if you care about Orlando and the health and the economic development and prosperity of your region, you care about downtown because it is the heartbeat. So the second thing I would say is you can support downtown in a variety of ways, right? It doesn't mean you have to live there, work there, eat there, whatever. But the amount right now, the amount of entertainment and culture that is centered there between the Performing Arts Center and what the Magic have and soccer and Camping World, I would say it's still the event and social hub of our region, right? And we are world-class offerings at all of those venues and everything. So I would say treat yourself to that. If you haven't been to the Performing Arts Center, the Amway Center is still a first-class experience to go mm-hmm. to an NBA game. If you haven't taken your kids downtown to Lake Eola for the stuff we did, you know, growing up,
right?
You know, give it a shot. I think one of the things that COVID, I hope this gets corrected, but the hybrid, let's all get separated and as far away from everybody as we can, that's got to, in my opinion, got to reconnect. I mean, people want to be connected like you and I are talking, right? So I think that's all, you know, that gets addressed somewhat over time. And I would say you can still be a contributor and a supporter of downtown. I'm not asking everybody to move downtown or everybody to have their office there, but I do think it can play. It should be part of the civic pride of where you live.
I agree with that. And you should be proud to know that I've seen Ariana Grande and Shawn Mendes in downtown. I have contributed. Well, thank you so much, Craig. I really appreciate this. I think this will be valuable to our listeners, hear more about what's going on downtown. We'll certainly follow up and make sure your information is available if people want to look up and read more about what you're doing. So thank you so much. And we'll take a break and be right back.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here's John Crossman.
We're back here with the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition. And we just had Craig Oster here as a guest. Wasn't that fascinating, Mike?
It was fun. I mean, first program. You did a great job, and he was super interesting.
He's a really interesting guy. And like the big points I really saw him coming back to is like all of us in every community we're in, we need to be thoughtful in investing in our downtown. It matters. So even if you're listening to this and you're based in Cincinnati, you're based in San Diego, and you might say, hey, I live in the suburbs, you need to be thoughtful about your downtown. I thought that was a really excellent point.
I agree.
The second one is that about housing and the housing proximity to downtown. And, you know, it takes a lot of work and with affordable workforce housing and figuring that out. And that leads. We always think about these cool, exciting things, you know, like, oh, having an NFL team. But in reality, what we need is like consistent events that bring people downtown. And a key part of that is the people living there. So I thought that was super, super insightful. And the other thing I want to say about him is he's a guy, I think like me, that, you know, certainly has his own worldviews, but he tries to work with everybody he can. And so he has that. He's not tribal, right? He's not like, hey, this is my team and this is what I'm trying to do. I mean, what he was talking when he came in, he and I were at the same event last night, which was an FSU real estate event, and he's a big time Gator. Right. So it's that kind of thing.
Go Gators. That's great.
Why stop it? Well, you know, but and it's funny. He and I are going to see an event together in 2 weeks. It's a UF real estate event that I'll be at. And the point being is like you can love your team and also find ways to work together. And so I really like that he's it's a Democratic mayor. It's a Republican mayor. It doesn't matter. He's trying to find his way to work together. And I think we need more of that. And, you know, Mike, in my own business brain, like why do I do the things I do in my own business mindset? It always comes back to my faith, and it comes back to one is like I think work's important. I think that God calls us to work. Number two, I think working hard is something that we're called to do as well, putting forth good effort. And then number three, being really you know invested in our community, right? Mm-hmm. And we think about the Good Samaritan, and you know like you know, when that came out, you know, who were the Samaritans? They were not friends with you know, the Jews at that time. And so at the same time, like having a business view and having a worldview of like trying to find connectivity with the people that live around us, I think is a core biblical view as well.
I agree, man.
Yeah. So, man, I just was really thankful for that. So we're going to keep doing these shows and bringing these business leaders and having these kinds of discussions. And we'll keep trying to find the hard topics within business and make sure we address them. And thanks for being here as always, Mike. And we'll be back the next time with the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition.
This has been the Crossman Conversation, CEO edition, with your host, John Crossman. Tune in next week for another talk with an experienced CEO that will help bring clarity to your business endeavors.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.